It's time for another Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. Although this podcast is an extra special podcast, Darren.
Patron only.
Just for the patrons.
Just the cool kids.
Yeah. Thanks for your continued support of Dave and Darren. You already know that you have access to everything that we've ever done. Now more than 1,200 podcasts, which let's all agree is an obscenely large amount of podcasts. That doesn't seem like...
It's ridiculous.
Right? It wasn't our goal when we started. We didn't think we were going to do 1,200 of
goals.
These things.
Goals.
Things are moving really fast with college football, and it looks like... We were talking about this a little bit on our radio show.
Let me do this because it is Friday afternoon.
Oh, yeah, here he goes.
It's Friday afternoon.
There he goes. Nice. I couldn't wait.
I know. I see it.
I didn't know that we were doing the gimmick where we crack them open. I think that's smart, though, on your part. We were talking about this on our show that Texas and Oklahoma are exploring leaving the Big 12.
Sounds like they're pretty serious about it.
And it sounds like it's a done deal. One giveaway was there was a call for all of the Big 12 schools to discuss the rumors of Texas and Oklahoma leaving, and Texas and Oklahoma didn't show up for the call.
Beat it.
So that's something of a dead giveaway. Now things are moving pretty quick where I've been reading for the last 45 minutes or so from a bunch of people that I think know what they're talking about. The very real possibility that Kansas will be joining the Big Ten, along with Iowa State.
Really?
And the reason that those two schools seem to have the inside track for Big Ten membership is they're both members of something called the American Association of Universities, which is something that the Big Ten really kind of demands. I think the only Big Ten school that isn't in that AAU is Nebraska. I think that's what I
read. Natch.
Yeah. Right. So, Iowa State could be in the Big Ten here.
Well, Kansas, no threat in football, but basketball.
Right. Well, that's the thing. So, like, I don't know how excited people are going to get about Kansas versus Rutgers in football.
Right.
That's going to be
Oh, I've got to have my Big Ten network to watch that one. that's not a bad matchup. That wouldn't be a bad matchup in basketball from, I don't know, if you want to go back to the late 70s.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens, but it just sounds like this thing is moving very quickly where, you didn't even hear rumors about this a couple of days ago, and now...
Everyone keep it quiet.
Everyone is saying this is...
We're going to spring it on them.
Yeah, so now the Big 12, which is currently 10 teams, soon to be 8, and it sounds like 6 at some point, if Iowa State and Kansas bolt for the Big 10.
Yeah, if you're the commissioner of that, you're like, maybe.
Right? So Iowa and Iowa State in the same conference would
be interesting. Well, you'd be getting to the point there where you would only play conference games.
You're right.
There would be no need.
Unless the Big Ten is 20 teams and you just don't ever play anyone from the other Big Ten.
Oh, yeah, but you've got to play other people from the other division.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. You wouldn't do like an East-West thing where they only play in the championship game? Kind of like American League, National League, where the Big Ten East and the Big Ten West only play in Indianapolis or wherever the title games are being played?
Now, who do you think is going to be in the World Series this year? Probably like maybe the Dodgers and the Guardians?
You don't see the Guardians doing anything this year for the World Series. But they are in second place as we do this podcast. I don't know. Dodgers and Guardians.
And that merchandise, I'm guessing, is already available. Has to be, right?
Yeah. You know who would know? My wife. She's going to Cleveland this weekend.
She is?
Yeah. Yeah, it's lovely this time of year. And I told her, if you see any Guardians merchandise, don't feel the need to get me any.
They're in your division, you know.
I know. It's a hated rival. I was wearing my Padres shirt the other day, which is a shirt that my buddy Super Dave gave me. He ordered it, and it was too big for him. So he gave it to me. I'm like, yeah. So I have this Padres shirt. And she's like, what are you doing? Why are you walking around in a Padres shirt?
Nate Colbert. Come on.
Exactly. Doug Drapek, what are we doing here? Snap yourself. Nielsen, the people that do ratings for both radio and television.
Uh-huh.
This is interesting. They're having their potentially having their accreditation suspended
by
this is the Video Advertising Bureau. That's the group that represents all of the major television networks.
Uh-huh.
And they are asking the Media Ratings Council to suspend Nielsen's accreditation.
Because they're not accurate?
They are not. No, the networks want to suspend the accreditation.
I always suspected that.
they want acknowledgement of the flaws and caveats in Nielsen's data. Nielsen's ratings are would have been used for decades to determine, you know, who's watching what on television. And recently they've become, Nielsen has moved into the radio spectrum as well, where they do radio ratings. There used to be a different company called Arbitron that would do that. There's a host of different companies that have done it. But Nielsen is in both television and in radio. But they're saying that the way they collect data is so flawed for television that it doesn't make any sense anymore. And what's crazy to me is, and feel free to back me up on this, the way they get data for television is 1,000 times more precise than what they do for radio.
Has to be.
Right?
Has to be.
Right? Like, we get some of the ratings that we get for Brute, although I think they might use a different service for that. Yeah, they do a different service for that, where they're able to look on your DVR, like what you were watching, and the information goes back to some network. That's not Nielsen, though. Never mind. That's something else. Don't they put something on your television?
Yeah, I thought so. There's an actual mechanism as opposed to somebody just writing something down.
They're saying that is so imprecise that it doesn't make any sense anymore. And their entire industry is based on this model that they're saying is baloney. The networks are saying it. Again, if television ratings are baloney, believe me, radio ratings are way more imprecise than television. So that could potentially be something of a attention getter. While we're talking about television, there's a German TV reporter who has lost her job. This this woman was covering a flood. Uh-huh. They're having all kinds of crazy weather in Europe, right?
That. Yep.
She's there in German in Bad Münsterfiel. Bad Münsterfiel. She went to go cover the flood, and she is out of a job because she was caught smearing mud all over herself before she filmed the report on the flood that devastated the town.
Why do you have to fire her?
Well, because she was pretending
to be muddy,
that she was helping with the cleanup effort.
Oh, okay.
So the article was that this TV reporter helped clean up the town, and all she did was just go and smear a bunch of mud on herself.
Now, did she smear the mud on, live TV?
Act exhausted. Well, no, she was caught because somebody was watching her, an onlooker, filmed her as she smeared mud all over herself.
All right, with using a different camera.
Right.
Gotcha.
Because it's like, oh, wow, that I know her. She's from the news. Mm-hmm. So they recorded it.
What is she doing over there?
And then she's just, her name is...
Putting on war paint?
Susanna Olin. Caught after an onlooker posted the video online yesterday. Fired. We're recording this on Friday.
You can't get
Thursday.
Away with anything.
The channel over there in Germany says, our reporter's approach clearly contradicts journalistic principles and our own standards.
In Germany.
Right. Footage shows her in a blue shirt, hat, and boots. She bends down and picks up some mud and then smears it all over her clothes while surrounded by flood-damaged houses and debris. And then she bends down a second time and wipes the mud all over her face.
And the name of the show is Guten Morgen.
Guten Morgen, Deutschland. Yeah, Guten Morgen, Deutschland. Good morning, Germany. Fired from the channel because, she's been there since 2008 at Guten Morgen, Deutschland. Oh, I tell you, I'm so exhausted. This has just been cleaning. The cleanup efforts have just been something else. I've been killing myself trying to help these dirty people from their flood damage. Well, you got a lot more time for helping out now.
Yeah, now you can actually help out.
You know where she might want to start the cleanup efforts? In Pulaski County, Virginia, where there were 500 gallons of curdled milk someone thought would be a good idea to pour down the storm drain.
Oh, no, funky.
Thousands of gallons of curdled milk.
Got to get rid of it.
It was a load that was spoiled due to the breakdown of a refrigerated trailer. Imagine you're hauling milk in this heat, and out of nowhere, you find out, okay, oh, it wasn't refrigerated, and it's all curdled now. They thought, okay, well, we'll just pour it down the storm drain. No, you can't do that. Emergency services say 373 gallons were removed from the area by the Public Works Department using vacuum trucks. Go and suck up all the curdled milk from the storm drain.
You think you've got a crap job?
No kidding. They say this is a good opportunity to educate people on the process of how to properly dispose of materials such as curdled milk. A lot of the milk made its way into the nearby creek, you see. And they don't think it's going to have too much of a negative impact on wildlife, but that's because they were able to stop it before, you know, before the curdled milk.
Now, do you ever flush any food down the toilet?
No.
Okay.
I mean, food that I haven't eaten first?
No.
Converted into waste?
Food that needs to be thrown away.
No. I have. I mean, I won't say that I haven't.
I mean, something that might be kind of like a little bit runny, so you don't really want to put it in the wastebasket because it's going to be a mess there.
I see what you're saying. No, I'll put it in the wastebasket and then just take out the garbage immediately. Okay. Yeah. I have done that in the past.
I mean, I'm talking about like, you know, soup or something like that.
Pouring soup in the toilet? Just to save yourself. It just seems to me like that's a good way to have a clog. I don't ever want to have to call a plumber over.
Because of something stupid you did.
Right. That would be how it would work for me. Instead of just, you know, disposing with the chicken noodle soup appropriately. If I put it
in
the toilet.
I'm not talking about a gallon of chili. I'm just talking about, you know.
Right, right.
A little bit of chicken broth.
Because I know the mindset is, well, it's going to end up there anyway if I had consumed it.
Essentially.
Yeah, but I like it to be a little, I like it when my body compacts it and makes it easier for the sewage system to take it. Because that's all I need is to have to call.
You're a marvel.
I just don't, I'm just saying.
No, it's a pain.
It's the kind of thing that I know it will cause an issue, and I don't want to have to call a plumber and say, somebody flushed 11 ice cream sandwiches.
Boy, that chili went right through me.
I don't want to have to do that.
Well, that's what I say.
Potentially embarrassing.
As far as a buddy of mine's mom's garbage disposal got clogged while I was visiting.
Yeah.
And it's like, I told her. I said, you know what you're supposed to put down the garbage disposal? Nothing.
Yeah, that's what they told me the last time I had to have a
Nothing.
Guy here when the garbage disposal got clogged. He's like, you really shouldn't be putting anything in here.
No. If you want to play it safe.
You really, it's just not a good
idea. If you think
that
you can put all your potato skins down there, no.
Yeah, the answer is no to everything. You really shouldn't ever even use, don't even look at your garbage disposal.
It's fine to have one, just do not use it. It's because it's disaster.
I have a story here of a guy in Ottawa. This is not the kind of story that we would ordinarily share. But I have to, because the line this guy delivers when he's caught by the cops, it could be the line of the year. Police found this guy in a pony stall with his pants down. This was at the Ottawa Stables up there in Canada. And when police found him, his pants were down. His penis was up, it says. Uh-huh. I'm reading here from the Ottawa Citizen. His pants were down. His penis was up. He was standing next to a miniature pony that had been tied up and lubed with massage oil.
No.
Ryan Dodd immediately told police, according to their report, as soon as they got there, he told police, quote, I'm sorry, but this is not what it looks like.
All right,
hello.
You tell me what you think it looks like.
I'm sorry, it's not what it looks like. Ryan Dodd, 30 years old, immediately told police officers, according to their notes cited at his criminal trial for breaking and enter and attempted bestiality. By the way, he was found guilty of both.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it looked like.
I don't know how much more evidence I need.
Whatever it looked like, They did arrest him. They told him to put his pants on, and he did, but he put his pants on backwards, saying, quote, "This is embarrassing." Police in their notes here say,
"Oh, it's beyond embarrassing.
Are you embarrassed that you put your pants on backwards or that we caught you about to shtup a pony?" The police say here that the smell of scented body oil was overwhelming. Dodd was cooperative with arresting officers and said he had been drinking and did two lines of coke before he broke into the barn. The miniature pony
had no comment.
It's
matter of fact, if you could black out my eyes, I'd appreciate it.
The miniature pony, its hair coat left greasy, smelled of perfume for days. Oh, and her genitalia, according to the police, appeared shiny. Police seized an empty bottle of body oil and rope.
I know.
Police also seized a pink silicone vagina replica used for masturbation that was found in this guy's hoodie. He had like a pocket and he had a fake vagina in there. So
yeah, the pocket pussy.
Now I'm pleased to share with you that they took the pony to the vet, and the vet revealed that there was absolutely no trauma to the pony's vaginal area or its rectum.
That's good.
Yeah,
rectum damn near killed him.
No. The cops got there just in time.
Just in time.
Right. If this was an actual assault on a pony, I wouldn't feel good sharing the story. This isn't what it looks like. Yeah, the veterinarian noted a copious oily perfume substance on the pony's rump and found that the pony's vulva was abnormally clean.
Well, you don't have to worry about that for a few months, I guess.
Cross that off your list of things to worry about.
Do, yeah.
Apple butter. The successful prosecution by the Ottawa Assistant Crown Attorney Tara Dobick proved only attempted bestiality, and his defense...
That was a close one.
His defense was that what looked like he had broken into the barn, he had really only done it to masturbate, and the fact that he brought his own replica vagina, he thought would exonerate him. Mm. Like, why would I bring a pocket pussy into a horse stall if I was going to have sex with the horse? That was his defense.
What is that? Some sort of, that's a bar joke? Guy brings a pocket pussy into a stable.
Dodd did not testify in his own defense and was found guilty of attempted bestiality.
Attempted!
And breaking and entering.
That's what he always points out. At any dinner party or job interview, attempted!
It says here that you ran into a little trouble with the law. Right, that was an attempted bestiality. It was a misunderstanding.
Attempted.
I brought in my own pocket vagina. Why would I rape a horse? The police responded within 15 minutes of the call, and they found his Chevy pickup parked a couple hundred feet down the road from the barn.
Still running.
The engine was still hot, it says. He was a private in the Army and worked as a vehicle technician. Joined the Canadian Armed Forces in January of 13, was released in February of 17.
So I know things.
Uh-huh. He told police that he had been dishonorably discharged in 2017. So now...
That seems to add up.
This is not what it looks like. Tell us what this looks like. What is it that you think that this looks like?
A good time?
No. Have a good time all the
little
time.
Little horseplay, maybe?
A man here in the States, this is in Amsterdam, New York, arrested after showing up to the wrong house for a party.
Done that. As a matter of fact, I've got a picture of it.
And what was your story that you...
I was going to my sister's house, who I hadn't been to her house very often, just a couple times, and it was like toward the holidays, and I was in the wrong cul-de-sac and let myself into a house that the door was open, And then I went downstairs. At first, it was like, wait a minute, I don't really remember it. Although I had taken my shoes off. And I went downstairs and I looked and I saw a couple of people I didn't recognize. I thought, well, that's odd, but I guess they could have invited someone I don't know. Then I didn't know anybody. And then at that point, I was close to being able to just get out of there. But then it was like someone kind of looked over and I was like, I'm in the wrong house. Let me go get the picture. I'll go get the picture. That doesn't... What?
They insisted on taking a picture?
Everyone was very nice except for someone who I would basically cast as me,
right,
of the family.
You wouldn't have thought it was that amusing.
No, I wouldn't have thought it was that amusing, and he didn't either.
That was a couple of years ago here. The next door neighbors had just moved in, and they were having some sort of housewarming party. And we knew something was up when this woman came walking into our house with a plate of deviled eggs. And we had never seen this woman before. And she made it as far as into our kitchen. And then she looked around and realized that she didn't know any of us. And it wasn't a party, per se. It was just, you know, three people in a house that she didn't know. And she put two and two together. Okay, so Darren's brought the photo.
Anybody, this doesn't do anybody any good.
Uh-huh.
That's listening, but First there's this picture. You might remember that one.
Oh, well, that's a picture of you and little Dana Piper and me.
On?
The day I got married 20 years ago.
Married.
How about that?
And then here I am in someone's house.
And you don't know who they are, but they took a picture.
Yeah.
And how did they get you the picture?
Because I think they ended up somehow knowing...
They knew you were Darren?
My other sister.
Oh, okay. So... And they just took a random picture of you.
To document it.
Oh, my God. That's a riot.
To document it. I hadn't even started drinking.
So this is in December of 2001. Okay. I know that because it says at the bottom there. It's from when photos used to have dates on them.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was right around.
Oh, that's Christmas terrific.
2001.
Wow.
Boy.
It'll be 20 years. You should go visit them this year. Say, hey, it's been 20 years.
I kind of know where they live.
Just help yourself to the Christmas party. It's me
I'm
again.
Back.
What has everybody been up to?
20-year anniversary.
This guy arrested and charged with aggravated driving while intoxicated. He showed up at the wrong address for a party. Joseph Olmsted pulled into the wrong driveway, believing there was a party there. Cops say he became belligerent when the homeowner told him he had the wrong address.
I didn't do that.
So the homeowner calls the cops. They show up. They do a roadside test. Then they give him. He gives a blood sample and blows Darren a .23.
That's a big number.
Yeah. I can understand going to the wrong house, especially after you've had a couple of drinks. But if you show up at a place where there's a party and they tell you there's no party
here, that's the end of it.
Why would you insist? No, I know there's a party in
there. No, let me see. What's going on in there?
This happens all the time. People tell me there's no parties and then there's parties.
I don't get invited to a lot of these things. Why would this happen.
Why would you want to go to a party?
Yeah.
Where they're telling you there's no party.
And you don't know anyone.
Yeah. That doesn't make any sense. Well, again, the guy blew a .23, so...
No, I was pleased that I wasn't shot.
Right. Because they would have been within their rights.
Well, unfortunately, yes.
If you have noticed pornography showing up when you're on the internet, and not because you're making an effort to go and look at pornography... It's showing up places that you would never assume that it would show up. You're not alone. Apparently, a porn company purchased the expired domain of a popular video hosting site. So embedded links on regular news articles direct you to this porn company. This has been embedded. This porno has been embedded on mainstream news sites like New York Magazine, HuffPost, and The Washington Post.
That sounds like a good plan.
Yeah. Originally, people thought it was like a prank. But no, this is, one of these video sites. And it was originally, I guess, something called VidMe, which was a YouTube competitor. They closed their doors, and now a porn company swooped in and bought it. And the links are still up on these news pages. So yeah, there's all this not safe for work stuff showing up. Like there's an article on former House Majority Leader John Boehner on New York Magazine, and then there's just images of just, you know,
is he crying?
He's got something to cry about with the images that are on the page next to him. Yeah, that's something else. So I don't know how they're able to get away with doing
smoking and crying.
I love that band. Isn't that who does Drive Me Courageous?
Mm.
It's one of my favorites. How about this? Getting pulled over with a bunch of heroin in your car.
You don't want that.
No. And the tiger tidbit is, if you don't want to get pulled over by the cops, don't do anything that would draw attention to yourself. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's important that you're, I'm not suggesting you should drive while you're disabled. We all know that anyone who does that is, what's the word?
Anyone who drinks and drives is a real jackass.
Right, right. But, like, if you have a couple of beers and you're driving with a taillight out,
mm-hmm.
that's how they get you.
It could happen.
Right. This was a story from Massachusetts. Trooper pulled over the vehicle for a handwritten license plate. Two Vermont men in Massachusetts in trouble facing drug trafficking charges.
This'll do.
After a trooper stopped their vehicle for having improper lights and a handwritten license plate.
Did they even attempt to make it look like a license plate? Or is it just scribble? I mean, did they use a Sharpie or use a pencil?
Yeah, these like the little rascals font.
Right.
Like the R is backwards. These two got arrested. 31 and 36 years old, Justin Buccino and Justin Gilliam. There was a traffic stop at 12:30 in the morning. The driver had an expired driver's license. When the cops asked about the handmade license plate, they couldn't provide any of the correct documents.
They just start snickering. And it's kind of lame, isn't it? Kind of stupid.
Troopers arrested the two and then found a bundle of heroin in one of the guy's pockets.
Uh-oh, bingo!
Arrested after they found crystal meth. One guy had heroin in his pockets. The other one had what they think is crystal meth in his pockets. He was a little argumentative, it says here, but remained compliant. Inventory of the vehicle found a used syringe, a box cutter, two bundles of heroin, a small white baggie containing fentanyl, a glass pipe, and a cereal box with 3,100 bags of heroin and a plastic baggie of crack cocaine. These guys are now facing several drug trafficking and drug possession charges. If you're going to have that much horse in your car, make sure your lights work and have an honest-to-God license plate. That's my suggestion for all of you young drug smugglers out there looking to make a name for yourself.
That is a tasty tip.
Yeah, I thought so. How soon, once summer begins, mm-hmm. do you think the average parent waits until they start getting back-to-school supplies?
How long do they wait?
Yeah. Like, let's say, first day of summer vacation is June 1st. Like, what do you think is the average amount of time that people wait start preparing for the new school year?
I would think that they probably wait until at least the 4th of July. After the 4th of July, you start thinking about it.
The actual date in a survey of American parents. Now, these are parents with children between the ages of 3 and 13.
Okay, so it probably would have been even later than that, because it used to be that you typically would go back to school. Your first week
right.
would butt up against Labor Day.
Yeah.
So you're not really going back to school until the very beginning of September. So maybe people probably waited until beginning of August or something.
And it's a little tricky, too, because school starts at different times
in
different
places.
This is a poll of American parents. Yeah,
they do now.
Right. In this,
I think it used to be a little bit more uniform.
In this study of parents with children between the ages of 3 and 13, the average respondent says they begin planning for the fall on June 19th.
Boy, they just can't.
It takes 29 days from the end of one school year to begin preparing for the next.
Does it just make you feel better? That they'll be back in school soon?
Well, 68% of the parents polled here say that they're thinking about the kids going back to school earlier than they would in a normal year. But yeah, they started planning for back to school season 3 weeks sooner than they would have before the pandemic. Something's changed in our mindset where it's like, these kids have got to go back to school. I don't know. So now it's 3 weeks after school is over. It used to be 6 weeks that you would wait to start planning. And maybe it's because they spent so much time at home. I don't know. Yeah. Something happened over the pandemic.
I have to do something that'll make me feel good.
Yeah. Back to school shopping. People are worried about back to school items selling out more quickly this year. People are thinking like they're going to run out of pencils. And, you know, there may be something to that because there's a run on a whole bunch of things, right?
Yeah, like right.
Chicken wings and lettuce and gasoline at some places. Yeah, like
the truck that's bringing you the pencils.
Yeah.
There's not as many of those either.
Also, items are added to the back to school list that wouldn't have been there 2 years ago, like hand sanitizer,
right, sure,
and antibacterial spray and reusable water bottles and disposable gloves because they still don't use water fountains.
Right.
If you're a kid between the ages of 3 and 13, right?
Probably can't find a working water fountain anywhere, right?
No. They say choosing a water bottle is a big thing for parents. So yeah, disposable gloves and masks and then classroom basics.
Rubber gloves.
Tissues. Yeah. I must have. I cannot begin the school year without a box of rubber gloves. So yeah, something's happened and we're all kind of thinking about kids going back to school.
Now, does Owen, have you seen his list yet?
No.
Okay. I was just wondering if there is something that from jump now, now I'm in seventh grade.
Yeah.
I've got new things I must have.
I got to tread lightly on the whole back to school situation around here.
Oh, I imagine.
It's not something I'm going to bring up.
No.
The two of them will get it figured out.
Even if it's the day before.
No. And while it feels like I'm trying to be helpful, nothing good can come from me saying.
Do not suggest that we go
shopping
for back to school stuff.
No, man. This isn't my first summer. I'm not saying, hey.
And this summer particularly.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not in a rush to get either one of them off to get school supplies.
No.
No. So
don't say a word.
I haven't brought it up.
As a matter of fact, I shouldn't be talking about it either.
You really shouldn't. I'm going to have to delete this portion of the show. How about this? Another thing that has changed as a result of all that we've been through, dead butt syndrome. Dead butt syndrome is an absolute real thing.
Is it a matter of sitting?
Yeah. The all of the sitting that we've done because of all of everything that's going on.
Get up and move around.
It's called glutinal amnesia.
It's like a dead arm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a condition that occurs when your gluteus medius gets inflamed and it's like your butt doesn't know how to work. It's gluteal amnesia. Your butt forgets what it's supposed to do. Sitting too long restricts the blood flow, causing glutinal amnesia, which can then lead to hip pain, lower backache, and problems with your ankles. Mm. The glutes fail to fire properly, even when you're doing exercises that target your glutes. The glutes are not designed to bear weight for long periods of time.
So you must get up and move around.
Spending so much time on your butt decreases your body's ability to use your gluteus muscles when they're needed. The comparison this expert makes in this article is, imagine you're making a panini sandwich where you take high pressure and high temperature to make a grilled cheese. And if you sit on your glute all day like this, the sustained flex position of the hip and the compression of the tissues sets up for the perfect storm of shutting down the glute function, or what they're calling dead butt. It's like your butt's falling asleep.
I'm guessing if you were to look into this guy, you would find out that he's always comparing something to a panini sandwich.
Oh, this traffic's something else, huh? It's like a panini sandwich where all the cars are the bread and the...
Like a panini sandwich.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that's like a panini sandwich.
I can't believe these long lines here at the amusement park. It's like a panini sandwich.
Always with the panini sandwich. Back to New England, where a summer camp has shut down. It was supposed to be a two week vacation.
That makes sense.
Parents paid $3,400
for 2 weeks
to send your kid to overnight camp for 2 weeks. They shut down after 6 days.
Did you ever do camp?
No.
Yeah.
Go away? You mean like go away camp?
Yeah.
No.
No, I didn't either.
No. I mean, I did like, I did speech camp. Not to brag.
I'm not tooting my own horn here.
You know what was great about speech camp in high school was? It was taking place at the same time that, this is at Northern Illinois University, and it was taking place at the same time that soccer camp and cheerleading camp were going on.
Yeah.
And
were were the soccer players doing better with the cheerleaders?
Significantly better. In fact, it wasn't even really a contest.
No.
They took 100% of the action.
Cheerleaders. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. It's like, there goes some tall and tan guy in a pair of Umbros.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, my category is original comedy.
Is this tie on straight? Here, smell my flower.
Yeah, I was doing prop comedy. Doing
prop comedy at the speech camp.
Camp Quinnebarge. It's on the banks of Lake Winnipesaukee in New Hampshire. They had to shut down the two-week camp after just 6 days. One of the parents said that there was an atrocious lack of communication from the directors going on. The kids were telling horror stories of going hungry and there being zero supervision. The camp issued a statement saying that there were some issues with staffing and food service issues. But they say here, without a doubt, this was the result of complications brought on by the pandemic and not any long-term issues with camp operations. Despite disappointment, we've received many calls and emails of support. One kid was writing a letter to his parents saying, all I do all day is cry, and everyone else cries, and don't believe the camp directors. They're lying to you. You've got to come and get me. This is the worst. The children were being served raw food. There was vomiting happening, like, everywhere. Like, all of the kids
all
were
right,
just
all
puking.
Right, you little mothers.
Exactly. It's Billy Winky. And he'll work for free. One final story for you here on the Dave and Darren Top 5 Things patron-only show. And it's the story of guys who paddled the Missouri River.
Mm-hmm.
There's a race they do in the summer. It's called the MR340. It's a race from Kansas City to St. Louis, and you go along the Missouri. This race has a reputation for being not only difficult, but crazy. Josh Blan, last year, had every intention of losing the race.
Mm-hmm.
It's a four-day race across the state of Missouri. So, like, it's like rag rye, but they're using the river and canoes.
Right.
Right? You go in Kansas City, and you come out at St. Louis. This guy always wanted to do the river race. And he and his friends...
No, he didn't expect to win.
No. He calls his brother, and his brother just turned 40, and this was like right when the pandemic had us all just at our lowest. And they were like, yeah, we're doing this. This is going to be great. Now, they get together. None of these four people live in the same place. They all get together. They're in Kansas City. They had kayaking experience, right? But they'd never rowed together in the same boat.
Uh-huh.
And that is a big part, apparently, of being in a canoe race.
Sort of, you need a certain synchronicity.
Yeah, and they just didn't have it. And they realized that it wasn't going to happen. They took the boat out the day before the race, and they just kept falling out of the boat. He says it was a disaster.
So it's not even a problem with the paddling. We can't even stay at the boat.
Well, they had to get a special boat for this. So they rented a boat. And the boat, they were all used to being in kayaks. This boat was like 19 inches across. So it's long, but or it's 30 feet long, but 18 inches wide. And they just couldn't, they couldn't row at the same time, couldn't and they just kept falling out. And they realized, well, this is a disaster. Never make it. So they decide, okay, do we quit?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we make a pact that we're going to see this through and we are going to come in dead ass last? And that's what they did.
Okay.
They decided the strategy was they were going to come in last. Because winning is one thing, but to come in dead last, that's something else. And they would stop as often as they could. If anyone got in front of them, they would
get out of the way.
They would stop and let them through.
You go right ahead. It's like the girl in high school that I knew that always pulled off to the side of the road every time a car came. It's like, boy, this is, I don't know that this is going to work.
This isn't going to work. Yeah, so they came in, they wanted to come in dead ass last, and that was the goal. Who is going to be the worst person at this? And yeah, they made it through. I mean, they stuck with it. It's a great story of tenacity, but also, what were you thinking? Like, put a little bit more thought into your leisure activities, gang. That's Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast, the patron exclusive that we did just for you patrons.
Thank you, patrons. We love you so much.
Yeah. We hope you had as much fun as we did. Thanks for your support. Thanks for downloading and listening to the show. And I guess we'll do this again next month, yeah?
Yeah, have a bitchin' summer.
Stay cool. Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, representing. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
That's it, man. Game over, man.